Good morning. My name is Ed Holohan, and this is The View from Here. Yesterday was Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's birthday. He would have been 266 years old, but he made it only to the ripe old age of 35. And no, a rival composer named Antonio Salieri didn't kill him. Mozart likely died of rheumatic heart failure, a consequence of rheumatic fever that he had suffered more than once as a child. Rheumatic heart failure is a horrible death. I'll spare you the details. And while the story of his pauper's grave plays well in a film, the fact is that the Viennese citizens of his day were famously frugal. Almost everyone was buried in a common grave, rich and poor alike, wrapped in a shroud, tossed in the grave, dusted with lime, and covered over when the pit was full. Why waste your money on a private ditch and a headstone when you're dead? The kids will find better ways to spend it, believe me. Mozart was solvent and looking forward to the future at the time of his death. The stories of his desperate financial situation and mysterious demise are a romance, at best. Did you know that Mozart's preferred middle name was Gottlieb? It means the same thing as Amadeus, one who loves God or one who is loved by God. But Amadeus is in a more romantic form, that is to say, Latin. It's the contribution of his biographers who wrote decades and centuries after his death. All of that is to say that people are remembered by the people who come after them. And the memories often have little to do with the truth and very much to do with how our survivors need to think of us. So I'd recommend that you write your own obituary. I'm sure you'll dress it up a bit, but at least it'll be yours. And you'll probably get your own name right. Well, that's the minor stuff, really. That's what you'd get in a cursory search online. That's not what is important in the story of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. What is important is his music. He wrote so much perfectly proportioned, originally tuneful, sublimely difficult music that it's easy to think you are listening to the voice of God, a voice that used the mortal Mozart as its conduit to the world. It has been said that writing music for Mozart was like taking dictation. He heard it in his head, sent it through his pen and on to the paper, from God to us. That's a heck of a thing to say about somebody. The God's voice appellation is usually reserved for prophets and saints, not musicians. He was a little guy, maybe 5'4", maybe not that much. He was the prodigy of all prodigies. He was his father's pride and his meal ticket. He dazzled the crowned heads of Europe before he was 10. He memorized all the music he heard on a road trip to Italy. He and his sister were bound for stardom, a one-way ticket to the royal courts everywhere. I will assume that you have heard his music, that somehow, in a world where everything that is old is therefore unworthy. In a world like that, I hope you have heard his music. If you haven't, then please allow me to suggest that you sit down with the middle movement of his Piano Concerto No. 21, or his Clarinet Concerto, or the Overture to the Marriage of Figaro, or the Finale of Don Giovanni, or his Vespers, or his Requiem. If one of those doesn't get you, that's okay, we're still friends. But if you do hear his voice, if you do succumb to the sheer beauty of it, then run to it. There is so much waiting for you. Type Mozart's music into your search engine and then sit back and let it wash. I promise you a transformative trip. I promise you jaw-dropping majesty and soul-wrenching intimacy. I promise you love and heartbreak and joy all in the same sitting. I promise you your mother's bedtime song and your father's belly laugh. I promise you the music of heaven. Well, okay, I'm done here. I've said all I'm going to say about Mozart, except this. just for today. Pay no attention to what you think you know about him. Just listen to the music. The music is everything he meant to leave us. That's all Mozart is. Music.